is Making Stitches, and this time my guest is Heather Gibbs, the crochet designer and blogger behind Keep Calm and Crochet On UK. She has these words of advice for anyone starting out on their own crochet design business.
You've also got to be a bit more accepting of rejection as well, in the fact that it again doesn't mean that you're not any good or they don't want your design. It might just mean that for whatever reason that design won't fit the current edition of the magazine. It doesn't mean that something else won't fit the magazine or yarn company's plans in the future. So yeah, go out there, just do it, and you never know where it might end up.
Hello and welcome to Making Stitches. I'm Lindsay. I'm a lifelong crafter, I'm a crochet designer and a journalist, and I really love being able to hear people's stories. This podcast gives me the perfect opportunity to marry my love of stories and creativity. Well, this time my guest is Heather Gibbs, who you may know from her blog called Keep Calm and Crochet On UK. Heather first began blogging a decade ago as a way of sharing her passion for crochet, and since then it's helped her develop a side hustle in crochet design. We actually met at a crochet event a year ago, and I sat next to her all day without realising who she was or the fact that I was halfway through one of her designs at the time. I may be a journalist, but I'm not always totally on the ball. My defence is that I was distracted by crochet. At the time, we chatted about her coming on the podcast, and after quite a few attempts to book a chat in the diary, we finally managed to get together last month to record this conversation. I hope you enjoy it.
I'm Heather, and the main place where people find me is perhaps my blog, which is Keep Calm and Crochet On UK. And I've just, actually it was in January, been doing a decade of writing on that blog. I also do some design work for yarn companies and magazines in the UK and the US.
I know, I saw that blog post about your decade. That's incredible. So many people start but don't stick to it, do they? So that's incredible. Well done. Congratulations.
I don't know where that 10 years has gone. It just seemed to have crept up really, really quickly.
That's wonderful. What does blogging give you then as a crocheter and as a designer?
To begin with, it started off as an outlet because I, like a lot of people, started crocheting again when I was pregnant with my eldest, and I really wanted to make something for them. And once I'd made that blanket, I was hooked, and I wanted to make other things, but there wasn't anybody really around me that was crocheting or really crafty, so it was a way of trying to connect with other people that I started it, and then it sort of carried on from there really to where it turned into, I suppose, a method of communication with different people that I've met and different companies that I've now worked with. So it's been a great vehicle for making connections, really.
Absolutely. And the crochet community is such a lovely bunch.
They are definitely my tribe. I feel that I've found them.
Oh, fantastic. Now, at what stage did you then move? Because obviously you said you started your blog to make connection with other crocheters, but you are a crochet designer yourself now, and at what point did that kind of move from following other people's designs to thinking, I think I might like to have a go myself?
Yeah, I didn't start off to become a crochet designer. I think a lot of crochet designers don't start off along that route. I think I've always been a bit of a tinkerer, so if I've had a pattern, I might tinker with it slightly. And I don't know, I think one of the original ones, patterns that I designed right at the beginning I was doing a lot of blankets. Blankets was definitely the thing that I was enjoying making. And I had an idea for a design that I'd not seen anybody else do. It's kind of an interlocking circle within sort of like a granny rectangle. And I suppose I wanted to see if I could have a go. I'd done some testing for other crochet designers, which is really, really useful to sort of get an idea of how you might write down a pattern yourself. And so basically, I just kind of gave it a go. Asked some people if they wanted to have a go testing for me. My mum was one of those. She's one of my big cheerleaders, and she often helps me out with things like that. And that I think it kind of just really grew from there. It's funny, isn't it? Like a lot of the things that I've ended up doing now, like I make a lot of toys now, a lot of amigurumi. I didn't set off to do. I hadn't started off doing those. A lot of designers might focus on like one set item, but no, I think mine has been a bit of trial and error, sort of finding my way as I've gone along. But yeah, definitely grown over the years. Yeah.
Fantastic. And how did you manage the transition then from designing yourself for your audience to actually designing for other people? Because I know you've done work for magazines, you've done work for yarn companies,
Yeah.
and you've done collaborations with other designers and yarn dyers like our friend
Yes.
Katie at the
Yes,
Yarn Whisperer.
yes. I think I was very lucky. I had a magazine approach me, because I don't think I would have had the confidence, especially at the beginning, to put myself out there and say, pick my design. But yeah, I had somebody approach me and ask me if I'd like to design something for them. So that was Let's Get Crafting magazine, which doesn't exist sadly anymore. That's well, they've gone sort of a digital way. But yeah, I designed some koalas for them, and they put it on the front cover, which was
Wow.
like just they I didn't know that it was going to be on the front cover. And so it was a proper sort of shock moment when I saw it there and I saw it in print. And it was such a wonderful feeling. And then they asked me to do something for them again. And it just sort of carried on from there. It was very gradual. It wasn't, all of a sudden I was working for everybody. That didn't happen. It was a very gradual process. And I think it must have been after I'd been working for them for a while, then I think it built my confidence up a little bit more to then ask other yarn well, it was mainly magazines, to see if they might be interested in any of my work. And then I was put on sort of submission call out lists, and then it just kind of grew from there, really. And then the more you work with people, I guess you create relationships with them, don't you?
Yeah.
And I would like to think that I've got good relationships with quite a few of the people that I work with now. So it's nice. Yeah, it's good.
That's wonderful. So, would you have any advice for anybody who's maybe thinking about having a go themselves?
Don't be scared like I was. It's one of those things, isn't it? I'm not naturally a person that would be confident to put themselves out there. I may come across as that sometimes, but I think I'm one of those people that it takes me a little while to warm up to people and to feel more comfortable with people. So in some respects, it's easier because you're behind a computer. So you can send them an email. It's not going to hurt. And if you don't hear anything back, it might just mean that they're busy. Don't think that they don't want to hear from you. I think you've also got to be a bit more accepting of rejection as well, in the fact that it again doesn't mean that you're not any good or they don't want your design. It might just mean that for whatever reason that design won't fit the current edition of the magazine. It doesn't mean that something else won't fit the magazine or your company's plans in the future. So yeah, go out there, just do it, and you never know where it might end up.
Well, absolutely, and some lovely friendships I think have formed through your work, haven't they?
Oh yes, yes, without a doubt. I mean, I would say crochet is such a massive part of who I am now, and through that, I've made such fabulous friendships with a lot of the people from the Crochet Sanctuary, and again with like designers like Kitey. I mean, we just met through him doing Zoom calls through lockdown. And then it became a little bit of a joke as we were talking in the group that we should do something together. And then it was kind of, shall we? And then I think we've done 5 make-alongs together since then. And we've got another one coming up this year, which we'll hopefully be sharing the details on soon. And I mean, it's always wonderful to work on collaborations like that with other creatives. Because it's just win-win.
Absolutely.
If you're doing anything like that.
Yeah, and I can imagine, certainly from my very limited experience of designing, it is quite a solitary activity, isn't it, really? You get sent the list of things that you're required to produce, and then you send it off, and then that's it, kind of thing. Whereas if you've got a collaborative partner to kind of bounce ideas off, that must be really, really quite nice.
It is so valuable, and it is really valuable to have other designers that know the process as well, because I love my family, but they can sort of glaze over as I'm talking to them about crochet.
Because, yeah, I know that feeling. they're just not interested.
They're not interested. They've got their own interests, which is fine. But it's wonderful to find somebody who's got that passion / obsession along the same sort of things as I have, so that you can talk crochet to them like forever, or stitches or yarn, and then be just in that same place that you are. Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah.
Oh, how fantastic. So you've mentioned you've got a collaboration coming up with Kitey this year. What have you got any other exciting plans that you can maybe let us into? I know a lot of things have got to stay secret.
I've got some more designs coming up for, I've done some more work with another yarn company. So Woolbox, who I've started doing some work with. I've got some work coming up with them. I've got some more submissions in some magazines that will be coming up in the future. So yeah, I'm keeping myself busy.
Sounds like it. How do you find that juggle, though? Because I mean, I know you've spoken about being a mother, and I know you have you have a day job in addition to your creativity. How do you manage to fit it all in?
I don't look at it too closely, because then I'll be worried that it will all fall apart. But I have a lot of lists. I have a lot of planners. So I have like an electronic planner. Plus, I have visual planners as well, so I can look at them on a daily basis. So I'll have I have a monthly planner, so I know what's coming up each month. Then I'll have a weekly planner, and then I'll also have a daily planner of my jobs that I'll do. And that, for me, is the way that I try my best at keeping on top of things. It can all fall apart if something comes up, like, you know, a child being ill or something like that. But I have found that most of the people that you work with, they're humans too. They've got similar sort of lives. They're very understanding. I mean, there was an occasion where I actually ended up quite poorly with an appendicitis in hospital.
Crikey.
And I was really quite ill, and I'd got commissions that were waiting, to be done. But of course they understood.
Yes.
Couldn't do them. And, you know, where possible, people that I've worked with have been able to shuffle things around. As long as you give people notice, I think, like anything, they'll understand that, you know, you've got other things going on, but you've not forgotten about them. Mm. You know, they're still a priority. It's just that, you know, maybe you've got to get well, get off hospital, yes, or whatever happens before you can get back to them. I think, again, it's making that relationship, isn't it, with people, so that they know who you are and how you work, and that, you know, for me, it's quite a personal thing. I never want to let people down. I'll get back to it as soon as I can, sort of thing.
Absolutely. Now, looking at your back catalogue of your designs, they're so different. You know, you mentioned you started off with blankets and you ended up making toys, and you've done lots of other things as well.
Yeah.
Where do you get your inspiration from for your designs?
I think I like to try a bit of everything. I suppose, not that I don't want to be earmarked, is not the right word. I don't want to be put into a box and say, right, this is the only thing that I will make. I like to have a little go at everything. And so the inspiration comes from, it can come from everywhere. It can come from, you know, seeing something interesting in a building, I'm quite into walking, so we do a lot of walks outside. I get a lot of inspiration from that. Or it can be something that my children have said. A lot of my earlier designs were definitely, you know, partly thought out through them, and then I brought them into being through one of their ideas. Just everywhere. It's something that I never find. I mean, I'm touching all the wood now. It's something that I find that I never lack ideas. I just lack the time to do them.
Oh, yes. If only there were another 10 or 12 hours in a day, we might have a chance of achieving all the things that we'd like to make. Yeah,
definitely.
Oh, that's fantastic. So obviously we've talked about the fact you've been going on your blog for 10 years, and presumably you never imagined that where it would take you. Have you any idea, yes, where it's going to take you next? Maybe for the next 10 years? That's a scary thought.
That's a really interesting idea. A question, sorry. If you'd have asked me at the beginning, I would have never have thought that I would have been where I am now with it. I suppose for me, that my blog has been my one consistent thing that's continued throughout those 10 years. And I suppose it's very grounding for me. Like, I know that I like to put out a post on a Wednesday. So I suppose my week is sort of structured around that, really. And like I say, I've had so many opportunities through writing the different blog posts over the years. It would just be nice to think that there's other new exciting things, you know, that might come along in the next 10 years.
Absolutely. Yes. Who knows where it's going to take us all?
Exactly.
It's amazing,
yeah,
isn't
exactly.
it? The possibilities are endless.
Yes.
Now, I know that a lot of crafters are guilty of having quite a large whip pile. I've got to ask you, are you guilty of that, or are you one of these brilliant people who doesn't ever start a new project until they finish the one that they're working on?
Oh, I admire those people. They, you know, I would aspire to be one of those people, but I'm not one of those people. I'm quite bad. A lot of my problem is that sometimes when I'm working in between commissions, you might have like a period of time and I'll be like, ooh, time for a shiny new project. I'll start that. But then I'll have to start doing like the next commission, and so it'll get put to one side. So I'm not the greatest at finishing things that are for me. Mm. If it's for other people, I'm fine. you know, I'll meet that deadline. But if it's something that I'm just making, I'm not brilliant at that. However, I'm trying this year, I do want to carve out a little bit more time where I can make some of the things that I want to make. I mean, I've never made a garment. That's one of the things I've never made.
Wow.
And it's been on my list forever that I'm going to make myself something. I've bought enough patterns over the years to make these garments, and my mind keeps changing. But yeah, I'd like to make a garment, and I'd like to make some socks, which I would like to carve out a little bit of time this year to perhaps do some of those that, you know, that I want to do just for me.
Oh, I don't blame you. I find it hard too when you do have so many deadlines, don't you, for different things that have got to be done. And then when you have that little golden window of opportunity when you're not expected to do anything for anybody, and that is incredible. And I am guilty of getting carried away with myself and thinking I can achieve a heck of a lot more than I physically can in that time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Always.
But no, you must make that a priority and make a garment for yourself, because, when you think of how many things you've made for other people over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you've earned that.
It's funny, isn't it? I don't know why it is that I suppose it's responding to somebody else's deadline. You know you've got to do it. Where when it's for yourself, you can easily go, oh, I'll do that later, or I'll you know, get back to that. And then never do. But no, this year, by the end of the year, I want to have made myself a garment that I'm actually wearing.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's one of my goals definitely for this year.
Oh, well, good luck with that. Yes, I started a jumper, knitting though, not rather than crochet.
Oh, yes.
Before Christmas. And I stupidly thought my birthday was in January. I thought, I'm going to get this finished for my birthday. Well, I'm about halfway down it. Now we're in mid-February, so maybe by next Christmas I think might be a better deadline that I can hit.
But that's it, isn't it? It's one of those things that you'll finish it eventually, and you'll get that wonderful feeling of wearing something that you've made yourself.
Absolutely.
I'm always in awe of these people that, you know, that have these handmade wardrobes. I would love to do that. But I'm just rubbish at getting to the completion of that.
Yeah, I know. If it's a commission, or if it's for somebody's birthday or for whatever reason, you have a fixed deadline, don't you? But when it's for yourself, it's very easy to let those deadlines slide.
It is. Yes.
Oh. So what are you making at the moment? Can you share that, or is that top secret?
I'm just trying to think. I'm working on a few commissions for yarn companies and magazines that I can't really share. That's the hard thing sometimes. There's things that you are working in the background, but you there's nothing that you can share. I'm just like looking around to see if there's anything I can share, but there isn't.
No. Never mind. I guess that's the designer's lot, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't got anything that I'm like a design that I'm working on at the moment that's like my design, like an independent, that would be like an independent design, because I am in the middle of doing commissions at the moment. And there's a blanket that I'd like to make that I've got in my head, but that might be like a slow burn sort of project. But I can't start that yet.
No, there's too many other things going on at the moment.
I've got to finish some of the other things before I start the next thing.
Absolutely.
That I want to make.
Oh, well, Heather, listen, I know time is precious, and there's lots of things to be made and lots of things to be done. And I'm really grateful that you've taken the time out to speak to me today for the podcast.
Oh, no, it's been lovely. Thank you. It's been really lovely.
My thanks to Heather for her time. It was lovely to finally be able to have our chat. If you'd like to see Heather's work, I'll include a link to her website in the show notes for this episode. You're listening to Making Stitches, a podcast celebrating creative crafts and inspiring makers. This podcast is supported by the Making Stitches shop on Etsy, where you can find Making Stitches podcast tote bags, badges, and stitch markers, along with a few of my crochet patterns for sale too. Just search for Making Stitches shop on Etsy. Now back to more creative chat. Well, over the past year or so, I didn't necessarily think I'd reach the point where I could say this, but this is actually episode 70 of Making Stitches. Yes, 70. That's a bit mind-boggling to me. It's also the last episode in the current series. I'm going to take a bit of time to record some more creative chats in the coming weeks, and I'll be back again, hopefully before too long, to share them with you. If you follow Making Stitches podcast on social media, you'll be able to stay up to date with when any new episodes make an appearance. And if you follow or subscribe to Making Stitches on your podcast app of choice, the next episode will appear in your playlist by magic. While you're there, could I ask if you'd mind rating and reviewing the podcast? That's really helpful to let other people who haven't discovered it yet find it. Thank you so much for listening and for your support and encouragement over the past 4 years that Making Stitches has been on the go. Without you, the whole endeavour would be pointless. So I'm ever so grateful to have your company on this podcasting adventure. Until next time, do take care of yourself and enjoy your crafting.